Please have a seat. Well, we've heard this morning already that God's word is a light to our feet. It's a lamp for our paths. It is more precious than gold and sweeter than honey. And so we've come to the time in our service where we hear God's word read. At Barney's, it's our conviction that when we hear God's word read, we are hearing the voice of God. So please open your Bibles if you have them. There's some black ones around, or in your leaflets you'll find the reading, or it'll be up on the screen as well. We're going to read Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to chapter 2, verse 5, which is on page 1788 of the Black Bibles. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in the body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. This is God's word.
Well done on being at church this morning. It would have been really easy on a cold, wet winter's morning to stay home and just snuggle under the doona. So well done on making the effort to be here. My hunch is that for most of you, you probably won't be here at Barney's in 40 years' time. This might not be your church in 40 years' time. You might move across town, you might move interstate, maybe some of you might go bush, but the chances are most of you won't be here in 40 years' time. You might be a couple, but most won't be. Which means at some point you're going to have to think through, well, what is it that I'm looking for in a new church? What would I be looking for? I think we have some sort of gut feel for that, some, you know, intuition around it, but we might not have a hard and fast list. It might, you know, you might think about, oh, would the church have good small groups? Would it have good kids and youth ministry? You know, would it be chaotic like this? Wonderful. But what is it that, what is it that would be the sort of ministry that you'd be hoping this church would have as you look? Well, as we try and think about that, that's where I think today's passage is incredibly helpful for us, because here we see the Apostle Paul laying out the shape of ministry for him. Now, you've begun a series in Colossians, and over the last couple of weeks, let's see if I can get this to work. Oh, beautiful. So far in the series, you've seen that it's the gospel that bears fruit in changing people's lives. And last week, In that great passage in the second half of chapter 1, you saw that Christ is supreme. Christ is supreme in creation and Christ is supreme in salvation. When you put those two things together, that the gospel changes lives and that Christ is supreme, it's almost inevitable that the outflow of that is how Paul is going to describe the shape of Christian ministry. So this is very much the first part of Colossians, plus the second part is going to lead us to this third part. So let me pray and ask that God would speak to us. There's an outline there in your leaflet, if that helps you follow along. And at the end, what I'll get you to do is to think about some things that have come out of today and share that with the people around you. So let me pray and ask that God would speak to us. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that you're a speaking God, that you don't leave us in the dark. And so we ask now, please, by your Spirit, take your word and make it alive to us, that we might know your voice speaking into our lives. Please be with us, we pray. Amen. So here we've got Paul. He's going to outline for us some things that will give us pegs in the ground as we think about what we might be looking for in a church ministry. So what's the pattern of apostolic ministry? Well, as we think about that question, immediately we run into a problem. Have a look with me at verse 24 there. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. Now, what's Paul saying here? Is he saying that in some way Jesus' death is insufficient? That it doesn't do everything that it's meant to do? Is it, you know, a bit like if you run into the Mormons will say that, you know, Jesus' death takes you part of the way, but the rest we've got to fill up with our own good works? Is that what he's saying here? Is somehow Jesus' death deficient? Well, he can't be saying that. Let's be clear on that. He can't be saying that because of what he's already told us. So if you've got your Bible there, you'll see back in verse 13 that the Father has brought us from darkness to light through his Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Last week, in verse 20, we heard that it is through Christ that God is reconciling all things to himself by making peace through his Christ's blood shed on the cross. And so already Paul has told us that Jesus' death for sin is absolutely sufficient. There is nothing that we've been shortchanged on. So when we get to verse 24, it can't be that somehow Paul's contradicting himself and saying Christ's death is lacking, deficient. So what is he saying? Well, let me introduce you to Tom Derrick. Military historians regard Tom Derrick as Australia's finest ever soldier. And he's a local Adelaide Western Suburbs boy. You go down Port Road, you'll hit La Fever High. That's where Tom Derrick went to school. He's a Largs Bay boy. During World War II, Tom Derrick was responsible for a group of men, and their task that they'd been given was to take an enemy position. It was a strategic position, and they were told, you must take this. And so Tom Derrick, as the leader of these men, he said, this is what we're going to do. Tom Derrick launched himself at the position in order that he would draw the enemy fire to himself and allow his men to have the best chance of survival and success. Tom Derrick takes the fire upon himself in order that his men might have a better chance. And for that action, he wins Australia's highest military honour, the VC. In the same way, the Apostle Paul is saying here, he is going to take on board an extra measure of suffering. He's going to draw the enemy fire to himself in order to give this fledgling church a greater chance of survival and success. He's going to take more than his share of suffering in order that the church doesn't have to experience it. So he says, I will fill up in my flesh, I will take this on board me for the sake of Christ's body, that is the church. The pattern of apostolic ministry is joyful suffering for the sake of the church. Now, this shouldn't surprise us because we know that Jesus suffered. And Jesus himself says that no servant is greater than his master. So if Jesus suffered, then his people will suffer. And how much more than those who lead God's people? And so Paul is saying he willingly, joyfully will take on board that extra measure of suffering in order to give the church a greater chance of survival and success. The pattern of apostolic ministry is joyful suffering for the sake of the church. Well, if that's the pattern of apostolic ministry, what then about the message that Paul has here? Well, let's pick it up in verse 25, please. I've become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So twice he mentions here about this mystery. Now, so what's he talking about there? How do we make sense of that? Well, I think it's a bit, you want to think about it in terms of what sort of TV do you watch? So for me, I watch a lot of British crime drama. And so British crime drama, you know, it's all about the whodunit. Who committed the murder? Will we find out? But I think here we need to think more in terms of reality TV. If you watch reality TV, inevitably at some point in a series, it gets to that stage where there's the big reveal. So let's see the big reveal for what have they done with the kitchen? Or what have they done with the whole house? Or who will they choose to marry? You know, at every, you know, reality TV series has this moment of the big reveal. And here, the mystery that God is talking about is like the big reveal. This is God's unfolding plan of salvation. And that has now this big reveal. You could almost put that phrase, God's unfolding plan of salvation, where mystery is. So verse 26, God's unfolding plan of salvation has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. The big reveal has happened. That's the mystery. And what's the content of that? Well, we see in verse 25, it is the word of God in its fullness. In verse 27, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Or if you cast your eye down to chapter 2, verse 2, if I find it on my page, in order that you might know the mystery of God, namely Christ. What's the message What's the content of Paul as the apostle? What's the content of this unfolding plan of salvation? It is Christ. It is the Christ that we saw last week, the Christ that we said as a creed this morning, that he is the ultimate supreme revelation of who God is, that when you see Christ, you see God. When you see Jesus, you see the Father. That here is the Christ who is fully human and fully God, so that the more we grow to be like Jesus, the more we're becoming properly human. That he is the one through whom everything has been created, for him, by him, through him. That he is the one who is supreme in reconciling all things to God through Christ. And he is the one who is supreme. He rules the church. This is the Christ that is at the center of Paul's message. And this is really important for the Colossians, because do you notice in chapter 2, verse 4 there, Paul says, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. The Colossian church are under pressure because of false teaching. All sorts of weird and wacky philosophies. And Paul wants to keep pulling them back to say, no, the content, at the heart of things is Christ. You know, one of the most confronting questions that any local church can ask of itself is, if we weren't here, what would the local community miss? If we weren't here, what would the local community miss? You know, if Barney's was to shut its doors tomorrow, what would this local area miss out on? Yeah, you could answer that in all sorts of ways. Maybe, hey, they're a really lovely bunch of people. And that's true. That's great. Or maybe, you know, that, like they're involved and they're doing a whole lot of good stuff in the local area. And that's great. But you know that you can find friends in different places. You know that there are other groups that are involved in helping the community tick along. But the thing that a local church like this can hold out to the community is Christ. Nobody else is going to do that. Local churches are so important. People who in this area might be able to say, you know what, it's that mob at Barney's that's where I found Jesus. That's where I sort of understood what the gospel is and how I've come to grow as a Christian. Is that what would be missed if Barney's shut its doors? I know for me, that's very much my story. I'm a product of a local suburban church. Just people who faithfully worked away at kids ministry and youth ministry and young adult ministry. Faithful preaching week in, week out. Just the bread and butter of a local church. The pattern of apostolic ministry is joyful suffering for the sake of the church. The content of the apostles' message is Christ. What about then the method of apostolic ministry? How should we go about ministry? Is it a case of bigger, brighter, louder? You know, the the bigger, more, you know, wacko the ministry it is, the better it will be. Is it the brighter the strobe and the light machine and the smoke machine? Is it louder? Well, we did have loud this morning, I must say, which is lovely, just lovely. I'll tell you what, I reckon I've got the method for filling this building. I reckon I could fill this building in a month. Here's how I think we could go about it. I think we could get an A-frame sign and put it out the front here. And let's put on it free beer. I reckon in a month we'd have the place full. But is that what the apostle would say? Is that the method of apostolic ministry? Well, let's have a look. Verse 28. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. The he, that is Christ, that is the content of the message. And so the Apostle Paul will proclaim Christ. He will teach people Christ. He will help people walk in the lifestyle of Christ. That's his method. This is a word-based ministry. It is speaking of Christ. It is pointing people to Christ. It is the word of Christ. Now, that shouldn't surprise us. We've already seen this at a couple of spots already. So in chapter 1, verse 5, faith and love spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, which came already in the word of truth, the gospel. That was a couple of weeks ago, that it's the gospel that bears fruit in people's lives, the word of truth. Or today, in verse 25, that Paul presents to them the word of God in its fullness. This is a word-based ministry, as Christ is spoken, as people are taught in accordance with Christ. And this is not just for the apostle. This is not just for leaders. This is for everyone. We'll see this in a couple of weeks' time in the series, that we get to chapter 3. It says this: let the word of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God and gratitude in your hearts. See, it's the same language, isn't it, as what we in today's passage, that the teaching and admonishing is to be done by one another. All of God's people speaking God's word to one another, for one another, for the benefit of one another. So, yes, it happens from up front. Yes, it happens from the pulpit. But that's not the only place. It is a one anothering that takes place. This is not just for leaders. It's not just for preachers. It's for all of us. And Paul says this is to be done in the power of God. So see verse 29. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea. The image here is of dirty, sweaty, grimy work. This is exhausting work. And yet Paul's prepared to do that. But he knows that he can't do it in his own strength. It is the power of Christ working so powerfully in him. So the method of apostolic ministry is a word ministry, the word of Christ done in the power of Christ. The pattern of apostolic ministry is joyful suffering for the sake of the church. The message of the apostle is Christ. The method of apostolic ministry is the speaking of God's word in the power of Christ. And what's the point of all this? What's the goal of apostolic ministry? I remember seeing this TV show a number of years ago. It was one of those daytime TV shows. I don't think it was Oprah. I think it was Dr. Phil. I don't know if you ever watched Dr. Phil. Anyway, he was interviewing these people in their 30s and 40s, but they all wore nappies. Not only did they wear nappies, they'd have a dummy and a bonnet, and they would sleep in these oversized crib things. They were, you know, in their 30s or 40s, but their big thing in life was acting like babies. And you watch that and you think, it's a bit weird. But when you get beyond the it's a bit weird, it was sad that here are these adults acting as toddlers, as infants. Intuitively, we know that that's not the way it's meant to be, is it? And the Apostle Paul says here, it's the same in the Christian life, that we want people to grow up. See there in verse 28, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. We get the same idea in chapter 2, verse 2. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart, united in love, so they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Paul wants people to grow up in faith, to be mature in faith. It's not enough for him for people to become Christians. He wants to see them grow as fully mature Christians, disciples who will make other disciples. So it's not enough, as good as it is, to be able to say, listen, here's this person who's never heard of Jesus, and isn't it wonderful they've taken steps closer and closer, and they've come out of darkness into God's marvelous light. That is wonderful, but it shouldn't stop there. It needs to see people go on growing to maturity in Christ. The pattern of apostolic ministry is joyful suffering for the sake of the church. The message is Christ. The method is word ministry done in the power of Christ. And the goal of that is that people would be mature in Christ. So, what would you be looking for in the ministry of a church in 20 years' time when you leave Barney's and you're looking for something? Is this the sort of ministry that you're looking for? Have you experienced that sort of ministry? Have you benefited from that sort of ministry? Maybe it was the church you grew up in. Or maybe it's a more recent thing that you've experienced this sort of apostolic ministry. Where you've experienced that, wouldn't it be good to be able to say to people, hey, thank you for that? Maybe it's the church you grew up in and you know, the minister's now retired. Wouldn't it be good to be able to encourage that person and say, thanks for helping lead our church in such a way that it reflects the pattern of the Apostle Paul? Or maybe it's those heroes of kids and youth ministry where you just think, I'm so thankful for the time and effort you put in that reinforces what we're doing at home as a household. Thank you for putting Jesus on the agenda for our young people. It'd be really great to encourage people like that. Why don't you set aside half an hour this week just to write somebody a note to say, I see the pattern of Paul's ministry in the way you're going about things, and I just want to say thank you and good on you and keep it up. It's great to be able to encourage that sort of pattern of ministry when we see it. But if we want to see it, then we also need to put our hand up. So, as I said, I'm a product of a local church, and people put their hand up to say, yeah, count me in. This is the sort of ministry I want to see happen. So maybe it's, you know, you think, yes, I do want to see a ministry where we're meeting Jesus in God's word and we're encouraging each other to grow in maturity. So I want to see that happen. So I'm going to put my hand up to lead our small group in this next year. That'd be a great thing to do. Or maybe it's you've got a real heart for the women in the congregation and you just want to help them take their next steps in following Jesus. You know, I'm going to put some time in, make sure I've got some regular coffees booked in where we can open the Bible together. Or maybe it's another layer where you think, you know what? We need strong local churches. And if we're going to see that happen, then we need people who are going to lead them. Not just ministries within churches, but lead churches overall. And it might be that God is beginning a conversation with you about, should that be you? That you replicate the pattern of the apostle in these local churches and see this sort of ministry happen. The pattern of apostolic ministry is joyful suffering for the sake of the church. The content of that, the message of that is Christ. The method is word proclamation in the power of Christ. And the goal of that is to see people mature in Christ. That's what we want to see. In a moment, I'll pray. Before we do, I just want to give you a moment just to have a think. I've put a couple of questions there at the bottom of your leaflet, which just say, what's something you've learnt from today? And what's something that you want to think about further? So what's something you've learned today? What's something you want to think about further? Let me give you a few moments to think about that. Maybe 2 minutes. Okay. A minute to think and then a minute to talk. So have a think and then turn to the person next to you and maybe swap an idea. And that can be the beginning of a conversation for morning tea. And then I'll pray.